Now, Jesus and his disciples had traveled to the far side of the Jordan River because the last time they were in Jerusalem, the Jews tried to kill them. They wanted to stone them. So Jesus got out of there. Said it wasn't his time yet. So he goes and continues the teaching and the ministry on the far side of the Jordan. But Jesus also had a special group of friends. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, three siblings. Special friends, buddies, compadres. Not necessarily part of the ministry team, but a very important part of Jesus' life. This is a group of folks where he would go and rest and relax and recharge, away in a place to get away from all the craziness of the ministry. These very special people to Jesus. As Jesus is off doing the thing, Lazarus, his buddy, gets really, really sick. And I mean sick. I mean deathly sick. So Mary and Martha send a message to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, your buddy, the one you deeply love, is very, very sick. Now, they fully expect Jesus to stop what he's doing, come right to Bethany, the village they live in, and heal Lazarus from this ailment. Well, when Jesus gets the news, he doesn't leave for a couple days. And by the time he gets there to the village of Bethany, which is a stone's throw from Jerusalem, in reality, Jesus is marching his way to the crucifixion. Everything's got to fall into place at the perfect time. He's got to fulfill all the law and the prophecies. He can't leave one stone unturned. Can I get a witness? By the time he gets to Bethany, he didn't just miss Lazarus. Lazarus wasn't just dead. He had missed the funeral. Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. He'd been dead for 4 days. So when he gets there, he's on the outskirts of the village. Martha, one of the sisters, hears the teacher's coming. Jesus is right down the road. So Martha runs down and meets Jesus on the outskirts of the village. And she says, heartbroken, confused, frustrated, probably a little upset. Can I get a witness? Runs to Jesus and she says, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. You know, why did you let this happen? We're friends. We're practically family, Jesus. How could you let this happen to us? You're going around. I see all these other people getting their miracles. I see this guy's eyes opened up. This dude with the shriveled hand that he didn't even really need anyways. Fixing that. I see you doing all this stuff, but my brother, your friend, you just let him die. Sometimes we can get like that. Can I get a witness? She says, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus says, oh, your brother will rise again. And she says, yeah, I know. In the resurrection, in the last day, Jesus, I know you got something great planned, but my heart is hurting right now. I'm crushed right now. My pain is here, right now. And Jesus says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Not somebody just important to do with the resurrection. Jesus is saying, I am the embodiment of the resurrection. John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Now, let's look at the text. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your anointing in this service. Thank you that your will is going to be done. Thank you what needs to be said will be said, and we will receive it, and we will walk in it. We will apply it to our lives, Lord God. Thank you for your protection over us, Lord, your protection over our children. Father God, your way, your will be done with us today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody in church building said, give the Lord some praise. If we look at our text, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. A year ago, 2 years ago, recently, I'm not exactly sure. I could keep better notes on this, but I don't. We did a study on the I am statements of Jesus Christ. There's seven of them in the book of John. And these I am statements are Jesus proclaiming that he is God. He says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. When he says I am, I want to draw your attention back to Exodus, the book of Exodus. When Moses is in the wilderness, he had to flee Egypt because Pharaoh wanted to kill him. Moses is in a dry place in his life, probably thinking his best days are behind him. He's a shepherd at this point. He was being groomed. A lot of people think he was being groomed to be the next Pharaoh. But now he's a shepherd in a foreign land. He's off in the wilderness, and he sees this bush burning, but the bush isn't being consumed. So he says, I got to check this out. He runs up to it. God speaks to him through the burning bush. Take off your sandals, you're on holy ground. Long story short, God, through the burning bush, says, Moses, I need you to go back to Egypt. I need you to set my people free. I've heard their prayers. I know about their suffering. Moses goes back and forth. Like, hey, you got the wrong guy, yada, yada, yada. And he says, okay, if I go, who would I even say sends me? The burning bush guy? He says, tell him, I am. I am sent you. I am. So when Jesus, jumping forward, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the resurrection, he's saying, if you got ears to hear, I'm trying to tell you that I am God. Can I get a witness? So with this whole situation where Lazarus is dead, 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 can I get a witness? He's saying, look, I could have been here and I could have done the thing. I could have raised him up. But you know what? I didn't just want to bless you. I didn't just want you to have a good day and a good story. I wanted to do something that is going to change your life, that is going to change other people's lives. Matter of fact, when God does something, God expects to get all the glory. He wants all the glory. Can I get a witness? So when God does something, it's something big. Amen? And I'll just throw this out there. When God does something, everybody involved wins. When God does, when we let God do his thing, because sometimes we get antsy and we want to help God, or we think we see something, we just want to get. Sometimes be still, listen to that voice, listen to God, let God do his thing, because when God does his thing or we allow God to do his thing, everybody involved wins. That's a true statement. I've seen that play out on both sides. I've been on both sides of that. Only God can bring something that is dead back to life. My family situation in my life seems so hopeless. There's nothing hopeless when you belong to Jesus. My health, the nation, the world. Oh my gosh, I thought the world was falling apart last year. Here we go, you know? God's on the throne. Amen, God's on the throne. He's in control. Amen. Ain't nothing going on that has surprised him. Amen. But only God can bring what is dead back to life. Only God can bring forth life. Satan hates that fact about God. And Satan tries to mimic that, but he cannot bring life. Only God can do that. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a beautiful verse. Why'd you say that verse? Because look at our main text right here. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He's saying, if you want eternal life, raise your hands if you don't want eternal life. If you don't want eternal life, if you want eternal life, If you want forgiveness of sins, there's only one way to go. It doesn't matter what kind of philosophies you've subscribed to. It doesn't matter what your professor told you. It doesn't matter what grandma told you. I'm talking about let God be true and everybody else can be a liar. Amen. We listen to what God says. Amen. You cannot disprove. Go ahead and devote your life to trying to disprove one thing in the Bible, and you'll never be able to do that. You'll waste your life other than the fact that it'll bring you right back to the cross. Amen. So there's this thing that is true, and I don't know a lot, but I know that this one thing is true, and there's a God in heaven, and he loves us, and he sent his son to die for us. And if I accept his son as my Lord and Savior, I get forgiveness of sins. I get eternal life. I get to enjoy eternity with the creator of the universe. So he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Don't waste your time subscribing to any other thing. Don't look for any other thing to bring you satisfaction. Don't think if I get this certain job, I'll finally be satisfied. If I get this certain person in my life, I'll be satisfied. Because you won't, maybe for a second. But none of these things will satisfy you. Can I get a witness? Look at your wife. Look at your neighbor. Say, no, I'm playing. Yeah, okay, moving forward. Acts 4 and verse 12. And there's salvation in no one else. Well, just be sincere. Believe something and be sincere about it. Be a good person. Try and let the good you do outweigh the bad. It doesn't work that way. And there's no doubt that we're all good people compared to like Stalin or, you know, I don't know, Pol Pot. You remember that guy? That Cambodian guy? Khmer Rouge? Compared to these knuckleheads, yeah, we're great, right? God doesn't grade on the curb, man. We've all fallen short. We've all broken God's law. Every single one of us. And there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Well, Jesus is making this statement. Martha, calm down. I know it's been a crazy time, but I'm here. I'm here. You're not alone. I'm here. And I'm everything you need, Martha. And he says that to me and you. He's not saying I'm here and I'm going to jump through your hoops. But he's saying I'm here and we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this to better days. And we're going to take it one day at a time. And when you put your trust in me and take it one day at a time, I'm going to rebuild your life. I'm going to make it how you never could even imagine that it could be again. Well, how dare you say that, Paul? You know what happened to me. You know, I'm not saying you haven't been through some sort of crazy trauma. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that you serve a miracle-working God that has been calling you and bringing you and pulling you, saying, let's do this together. You've done it on your own long enough, and look where you're at. Can I get a witness? Amen? Let's go to slide two. Let's go to slide two. When she had said this, what did she say? She said, I believe you are who you say you are. Because that's where it's at, man. The truth is the truth, and the truth doesn't change. Whether you want to believe it or not, the truth doesn't change. The truth will always be the truth. But if you want the blessing from the truth, if you want the benefit of the truth, you've got to apply the truth. You've got to believe the truth. Does that make sense? You don't have to understand everything. I don't understand everything, not by a long shot. I don't understand how the Trinity works. I don't understand all these great things, but I believe it. I believe God. I take God at his word. And we got to come to him like a child. You know, what does a child do to mom and daddy? They believe mom and daddy until a little time goes on and they realize mom and daddy are full of doo-doo, right? You know what I mean, right? They have to learn that. They have to learn it. But originally, they're like, "They are my everything. They are everything," and they put their trust in the mama. They put their trust in the daddy. You know what I mean? We got to come to God like that. We just got to put our trust in him and know that he's a good God, a good father. Amen. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. I like that part. We got these two sisters. Martha hears the news. Man, she's like, boom, she's out the door. Excuse me, pardon me. Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you. She's out the door, man. She doesn't even let Jesus get into the city limits, man. She runs to him. But here's Mary. These girls are heartbroken. You know what I mean? Heartbroken, confused, frustrated. And I bet I put $8 on it if I was a betting man, and if I had $8, that they were a little upset with Jesus. You know what I mean? Mary just stays planted. But listen, what happens? What just took place? Martha said, the teacher's calling you by name. When you're going through this difficult season in our life, and sometimes we're like, man, you know, life is just unbearable. Yeah, without Jesus, it is totally unbearable sometimes. You know what I mean? I don't know how people deal with it. Well, I know how I used to deal with it. You know, I'd self-medicate and do whatever I could do just not to think about how crazy everything was, you know? And the problem with that, well, one of the problems is I was just messing up my life worse and worse and worse. You know what I mean? So the teacher, the rabbi, the savior of the universe is calling Mary by name. He's doing that to me and you too. He's saying, Holly, I'm here for you. Brother Allen, I'm here for you. Brother Josh, I'm here for you. He's saying, I want you to get through this. I want you to get through this with joy. I want you to get through this chapter of your life with peace and joy. Even though everything's falling apart all around you, he says, I'm calling you by name. Martha knew, even though her world was upside down, man, she knew without a doubt, if I'm going to get through this next 24 hours, it's going to be hanging out with that man from Galilee. That's the only way I can get through this. It doesn't matter who brings over the casserole, the pound cake, who says he's in a better place now. That's great. That's fine. That's dandy, man, but I'm crushed. My heart hurts, man. But I can get through this when I cling to him. It's like that lady with the issue of blood. She says, if I could just work my way through this, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. Matthew 11:28. He's calling us by name. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That speaks so much to me, man. Because as a male, as a human, as an American, as a Floridian, as a knucklehead, you know what I mean? I just try and do it, man. I just try and do it. I'll figure it out. I can do it. And that works some of the time. But I have so much limitations on me, man. There's so much that even my mind will not understand. You know what I mean? And so you have all this responsibility, all this weight on you. And you just want to do right, man. Maybe you just want to do right. But then you realize, you know what? God's been there the whole time calling you by name, saying, let me shoulder that for you. Let me shoulder that for you when you're tired of spinning your wheels. Man, I'm 51 years old, man, and I'm spinning my wheels, and I'm kicking up dirt, and I'm making a lot of noise, but I'm just here, man. Can I get a witness? God says, come to me. Let me give you rest. Let me give you peace. Walk with me. And let me shoulder that burden. Let's get through this together. And let's take it one day at a time. Why do you keep saying taking it one day at a time? Because that's what God says. He says, stop getting stressed out and making yourself sick because of what might happen tomorrow. He says, you take it one day at a time. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise while I enjoy some of this delicious spring water. 34 and verse 18. Boy, I said that fast, didn't I? I go back and listen to the sermon. Sometimes I do. It's very painful. It's very painful, you know, your voice is funny when it's recorded and all that. But sometimes you feel like I got to go back and check that out. And I've noticed that some sermons I talk like super fast, man, like, and then some sermons it's like I took my nighttime medicine. In my sermons, I went from like 35, 40 minutes to like 1 hour and 5 minutes. And I'm like, God bless these people. God bless them, man. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Listen to me, come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, you come to me. I'm calling you by name. I'm calling you by name. I'm knocking on the door. But you got to answer the door. He says, come to me. And he says, I'm here. I'm here. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. This is the world that we live in, where you will have days where your heart is broken. You will have days where nothing makes sense. You will have days where nobody sees it your way, where you don't feel like you have a human friend in the world that is on your side. Can I get a witness? But God says, I'm near to you. Whether you're wrong. He says, I'm near to you. I'm here for you. I'm going to stick closer to you than a brother. You know the cool thing about brothers, man? Because a brother's a brother, man. They don't care how popular you are, how hip you are, what kind of mistake you made last week. They don't care. That's my brother. That's my blood. Jesus says, I'm your big brother. I'm your big brother, and I love you so much. This is when our relationship really going to shine, man, because I want you to know I'm here for you. He says he's close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those that are crushed in spirit. Ecclesiastes, that's our book of the month or whatever. That's what I've been reading. And Solomon's doing like this backsliding experiment, you know, where he's saying, what is there that can satisfy? What's out there? Because he had access to everything. He was the richest king, the smartest king. Gold was so plentiful. He said, let me try ladies. I have all the ladies I could ever want. Let me get into botany. He went from ladies to botany. He's just jumping all over the place. So what can satisfy you if you take God out of the equation? If you take God and put him over here, and I try everything, and I give it my all. I'm talking about my servants waking me up in the gutter. Said, nothing satisfies. It's all vanity. It's all vanity. But in Ecclesiastes, there's a lot of wisdom in that. Amen. And he says, there's a time to mourn. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. And there's a time to mourn. So to mourn, that's not a bad thing. And he says, look, I'm close to the brokenhearted, because you will be brokenhearted in this world. But I save those who are crushed in spirit. That's something that we have access to. Amen? And that's something that you have access to. And that's something that the world needs. Amen? Can I get a witness? Okay. Verse 29, John 11, 29. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Hey, Mary, the teacher's here, and he's calling you by name. And when Mary hears it, she gets up, she runs to him. Little Mary's coming to her senses, I believe. Calling you by name, my sheep know my voice. See, here's where the rubber meets the road. You know, he's calling you by name. He's calling me by name. But if I want peace in my storm, and there's so many opportunities for us to just be miserable and frustrated, you know, and just stressed out to the max. I haven't said that since the 80s. Stressed out to the gag me with a spoon, dude. What's wrong with him? Okay, no. Check this out. He says, if you want the peace, if you want the joy, he's calling you by name. He stands at the door and knocks. But you got to take that step. She got up and she went to him. She got up and went to him. She could have crossed her arms and said, well, he wasn't here when I needed him. He wasn't here when I needed him. So I'm done. I tried my little Christian thing and I'm done with it. My life got harder. When I became a Christian, I started going to that weird church. My life got harder. It does. Your life will get harder when you become a Christian. You just went from being an enemy of Satan to someone he absolutely cannot stand to being a real menace to Satan. You know what I mean? He hates you. He hates you by default. He can't stand you. But once you accept Christ, you just became a toothache for him, a headache for him, a problem for him. Because Christians don't stay silent too long. Christians, can I get a witness? She rose quickly and went to him. This is the disciples in the boat in the middle of the storm, and they run to Jesus. And like, Jesus, don't you care? Jesus is sleeping. They run to Jesus in the boat and say, Jesus, don't you care that we're drowning? Jesus, we're drowning. I felt like that before. And we run to Jesus. This is David, King David, getting the news that his infant little baby boy just died. And David gets up off the ground and he goes to the temple and worships. That's what Mary is doing. Mary's saying, I'm going. I don't understand any of this. I'm upset. I mean, I'm mad. My brother's dead. But I'm going. I'm running to Jesus. That's what we got to do. It's not going to make sense, man. I try so hard to put everything in all these little categories as the world gets more and more crazy because I want to have answers to stuff, you know what I mean? And I'm like, you know what? At the end of the day, Satan is busy. This world is messed up. But my God's in control. Amen? Can I get a witness? James 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Is that true? Yes, it is absolutely positively true. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I've lived it in my own life where he has been so patient with me, so patient with me. And he's saying, I'm right here. I'm knocking. But if you want peace, because the best, Paul, the best that you can do, Paul, all on your own, is just mess it up, man. The really important stuff, I just mess it up, man. What matters? But when we put God in the equation, when we submit to him, it doesn't make it easy, but it saves us from a lot of trouble. Can I get a witness? 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your anxiety. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So Martha's doing. So Mary's doing. It's like, I thought I needed you then. I feel like I needed you then. But if I'm going to get to the sun up tomorrow, I know I need you now. I know I need you now. I can't do this on my own. And you're here. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So that's those dividing cares. There's all that stuff in your head that drives you crazy. All that stuff. What if I did this? What if that? Why did this happen? Why in the world did I do that? Oh, whatever. All those stressors. I got in trouble with the law last night. I got in trouble with the law a while back. A long way back. What are you talking about? Well, taking all these classes. One thing I learned from the class is, there's a lot of rules that you got to follow if you want to stay out of trouble. But this guy, he says, you got to kill the stressors in your life. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's illegal, but keep talking. I'm listening. He says, you got to kill the stressors in your life. He's saying, man, the stuff that stresses you out, get away from it, man. And Jesus says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. says, you give it to me. Give it to me because I care for you like a father cares for the child. He says, I'm your father. It's my responsibility. If anybody's going to be stressed out, it's going to be dad, which he will never be stressed out, right? He knows the end from the beginning, but he says, you don't need to be stressed out. I need you to have peace because time is short. Amen. So we give our burdens to him. Can I get a witness? Verse 30. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. Jesus, he ain't even, let's go to the next. No. Stay where you're at. Slide 2. Stay where you're at. Jesus ain't even in the village yet. But now Martha and Mary, they're all together. Mary comes to her senses. And that's the place where Victory Life Church needs to be. Where we come to our senses, where we come to ourselves and realize, you know what? I'm a Christian and I love Jesus Christ. But you know, I sure haven't been that faithful to him. I sure haven't been the type of son I should be to him. And oh, I need him so much. And I love my relationship with him. It's like the prodigal son, isn't it? It's like the prodigal son. This is very, very, very cool. And I think about this from time to time. I think we have the verse. I don't know if we have the verse. Do we have Luke 15, 17? It don't matter. I wrote it down because, you know, Mary coming to her senses, dusting herself off and running to Jesus reminds me of that prodigal son who went to his rich daddy and said, rich daddy, I want my inheritance now. Which you don't get inheritance till the old man dies, but he's saying, I don't care if you live or die. I want what I got coming to me. The father said, all right, go learn your lessons. It's a stupid mistake, but go on, chief. Go do what you got to do. And I've been there. He takes it. He squanders it. He's got all types of friends. Everybody wanted to be around him. He's got the money. He's got you know, having a good old time. He's in a foreign land. Then all that money's gone. He ain't got a friend in the world. Here's a good little Jewish boy feeding piggies. So Jews ain't supposed to have nothing to do with swine and all that, you know. But that's just the depravity this kid's gotten himself into, to where he's sitting in mud and pig doo-doo and corn cobs and all this. But it was in that pig doo-doo and corn cobs. It's the title of my book, by the way. Tales from Victory Life. No. Yeah. Look, it was in that mess where the prodigal son came to his senses. He was thinking, you know what? My dad's servants have food to spare. And here I am trying to do it on my own. And he got up and he went back to the father. And he had this really cool speech made up of how he's going to say, I'm not worthy to be your son. Just let me be a hired hand. I'll sleep in the barn. Yada, yada, yada. But by the time he gets there, his dad don't even want to hear it. He said, my son was dead. Now he's alive. You know, he came to his senses. Mary's coming to her senses. We got to come to our senses. Can I get a witness? Let's go to slide 3. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Interesting. We're supposed to cast our cares upon him. It's his responsibility. That's what he's saying. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Notice in her turmoil and broken heart how she comes to Jesus Christ. Listen, look at this. Because there's a way we need to come to Jesus. You know, even when we're mad, that's okay. Even when we're upset, even when it doesn't make sense, even when our hearts are crushed, let's not forget who we're talking to, right? She says, well, she fell at his feet. there's that reverence, there's that respect. She fell at his feet. And then she says this. She said to him, Lord. Now she's about to unload how she feels about the situation. But she comes, which David did, Job did, Jeremiah did, all these cats did this. But we never lose that reverence and respect for our Lord. We want to come to him before, you know, with that reverence and that respect. Sovereign God, right? Creator of the universe, granted you life, saved your soul. Amen. So she comes to him with respect, and she says this. She says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Remember, Jesus wasn't just going for the blessing. He was going for the mega, super awesome blessing. He was going for something bigger than she could imagine. And so sometimes that means you don't understand what's going on. But that's when you just hang on to God. You just put your trust in him. Because look, he could have raised him up. He could have said, Lazarus, come on, uppy, uppy. Girls, make him a sandwich. Go walk around, check it out. Look, he's doing better now. Do some jumping jack. Look, his color's coming. He could have done that. But there was that chance that God wouldn't have got all the glory. You know what I mean? Because God ain't going to share his glory with nobody. He desires to share his glory with nobody. There could have been people saying, Lazarus, healthy kid, super strong dude. You know, he used to work construction all his life. I'm not surprised he got better. Even the disciples, when they heard that he was sick, he said, well, Jesus, if he's sleeping, he's going to get better. And Jesus is like, no, he's not sleeping like that. He's sleeping like he's dead, dude. Knuckleheads. Trying to be cool, man. Trying not to upset Peter over there, old sensitive boy. You know what I mean? But what are we talking about? Somebody help me. Let me just read my text. All right, God wants to be super blessed. Yeah, big blessing. Big blessing, yeah. And he doesn't want to share. So, you know, I mean, check this out, dude. You know, there was this, well, I'll get into that in a minute. I don't want to break that out yet because that's kind of a cool thing. Let me just move forward. Jesus doesn't want to share his glory with anybody. Isaiah 42 and verse 8, I am the Lord. That is my name. Don't wear it out. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other. No man is going to be able to take credit for this. Just Jesus Christ. And this is going to give God the Father honor. And this is going to be another proof that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. So all these mourners have an opportunity to put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it says that many do come to him. Not everybody. Some people are going to be awful jealous about this. But a lot of people come to him. See, God does these amazing things for him to get glory and for us to grow in our relationship, man, to grow in that intimacy, to be able to look back and say, God, I didn't know I could have joy like this at this stage of my life. I didn't know that I could have that right here and right now. And it looks so dark and so hopeless. But you know what? You did it again. You made a way where there is no way, and nobody can get credit for it but God. Amen. So another interesting thing is Mary says this when she gets to Jesus. She says, if you had been here, my brother would have not have died. And Jesus might have been like, I've heard that before. Because earlier in the day, when Martha came to him, Martha said the same exact thing verbatim. Same exact thing. So them both saying the exact same thing. Because the Bible would have said it a little different if they would have said it a little different. So there's something for us to learn in there. They both said the same exact thing. Meaning, when they were together, mourning, instead of encouraging one another, which this is a dark situation. This is crazy. But listen, we have the privilege of looking back and knowing what God is about to do in their lives. So we have no excuse. When our life's going crazy, don't get up with your buddies. We be with our friends. We be with our family when everything's falling apart. But we're supposed to encourage one another. Encourage one another. Amen. Does that make sense? Encourage one another in the word. Encourage each other in the gospel. You know, encourage people. Pray with them. Iron sharpens iron. Don't get together and talk about how hopeless something looks. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, it looks hopeless. It looks hopeless. What looks hopeless? All of it. It's messed up. Right? Not with God. Nothing's hopeless. So we can bring each other down by talking negative, or we can encourage each other by pointing to what Scripture says. Seeing how God was faithful to me in the past. Amen? Give the Lord some praise. Encourage one another and build one another up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. I like this right here, this encouragement from Paul the Apostle to the church in Thessalonica. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. That's what I like to hear from God. You know what you're doing? You know what you've been doing? Do more of that. That's what I like to hear. You know what I mean? Let's put ourselves in a place where we can hear more of that. You know what I mean? Good. Keep it up, tough guy. There you go. But we're going to encourage one another. Let's go to the last slide. No, my gosh, where are we at? No, slide three still. My gosh, are y'all doing okay? Should we take a break? All right, let's see if we can wrap this up. We're still on slide three. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Yeah, we don't want to skip this because this is really good. Mary's there. Martha's there. Scores of people are there. Everybody's sad. Everybody's brokenhearted. The girls have told Jesus exactly how they feel about it. And Jesus has this reaction. When Jesus saw her weeping, Mary saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled. What is this deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled? Profound grief. This is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ, the second man of the Trinity, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is feeling profound grief. Think about that for a second, because we can feel so alone in our pain. Feel like my pain's my pain and your pain is your pain, right? Some people don't get it. Some people don't understand why you're still in agony over this situation. Or some people are like, man, I can't believe he or she's doing so good. But our pain is our pain and not everybody's going to get it, right? But God gets it. And he cares about it. And even though he sees the big picture, even though he sees the end from the beginning, when his babies are hurting, he's hurting. Just like when Junior had his first day of school and he was hanging on to the doorpost and wouldn't go and he was freaking out. You're like, I can't do it, Daddy. I can't do it. And you're like, you got to do it. It's scary. I know, but I've done been there before. You'll get through it. It's going to be all right. I know how this thing works. Go to school. Bye-bye. You know what I mean? God sees the end from the beginning. But when you're hurting, man, because he's our Father, his heart's hurting so much for us. Hurting so much for us. And that gives me a lot of peace, man, to know that when no one else gets it, because sometimes people don't. Sometimes people don't. They don't get it. But God gets it. Amen. Deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled. So the grief, the agony, let me say it like this. The grief that his friend was dead, even though he sees the big picture, even though he knows Lazarus is having a great time right now, he sees the pain that it's causing Mary and Martha and all these other people in the power that is within him, knowing what he's about to do. He's going to raise Lazarus up from the dead. Spoiler alert. He knows, but he's still heartbroken. But this is what really, 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 really speaks to me. I mean, that speaks to me big time. But it says, what are we talking about? Deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled. So what is that greatly troubled? He's not just grieving this situation, but he's mad. Jesus Christ is angry. Not my mild-mannered, sweet, hippie Jesus. Yeah, Jesus was mad. He says, be angry and sin not, right? Remember Jesus at the with the money changers and all that? You know, you can be angry and still not sin, right? We just have a hard time doing that, right? Words that don't separate those two, right? But he was mad, mad at seeing Satan doing what Satan does. Seeing Satan doing the thing. Seeing the death of this person and how it destroyed all these other people. And how that chain effect goes. That's why Satan loves to get people to do naughty, bad things, because it does not just affect you. It goes on and on and on and on and on. You know what I mean? To where you're dealing with what grandpa did. And then it's, how are you going to handle? You know, never mind. But you see what I'm saying, right? But Jesus is furious and more determined than ever to go to the cross. Looking over the horizon and saying, there's Jerusalem, there's the temple, there's the Mount of Olives, there's the Hill of the Skull. I'm going to do what I come to do. I come to make all things new, where this is not going to happen forever, to where one day I'm going to wipe away everybody's tears. He said, I'm going to do what I was sent to do. Sometimes, you know, we get so mad. We get so mad and frustrated at the way the world's going. Yeah, and you know, I go to Dalton's small group on Wednesday nights, and he always asks for, you know, prayer, who's got prayer requests. And then I get all riled up, man, you know, because I'm like, dude, I'm really mad. By Wednesday, I'm really, really mad. They like everything going on in the world, you know? And so I talk about these wars and everything, and you know, all these people messing with little kids, and not just messing with little kids, but you know, hurting these little kids and you know, torturing little kids, man. You know what I'm talking about? Torturing little kids, killing little kids. You know, all this just demon worship. This is what it is, it's demon worship. It goes right back to the beginning, man. It goes right back to Genesis, man. These same demons are being worshipped, man, that have been worshipped from the beginning of time. And that's what they love, man. Like I said, Satan cannot create life, but he wants to take the most purest, innocent thing there is and defile it and destroy it, like in God's face. You know what I mean? That's why he hates our marriages. That's why he hates our families. You know what I mean? Because the family, marriage is a picture of God, and it's Jesus and his church. So anyways, I get mad about this stuff, man. And then I get fierce, like, how come nobody's getting arrested? What do you need? You know, how important do you have to be to not get in any kind of trouble when you're murdering kids? So I get really mad about that, man. You're really frustrated. Like, man, I stuck up for you. You know, I get really, really mad. But then I remember this. Romans 12 and verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Well, hold on there. Somebody's messed with my family, Paul, and they're going to pay. They're going to suffer. They're going to suffer just like how they made me suffer. Okay. If you want to do this the right way, to where you don't have to look over your shoulder for the cops or their family, can I get a witness? Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. As furious as I am about some of this stuff, all God's wrath is being stored up. And he's saying, Paul, just leave it to me. Just leave it to me. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You pray for them. Oh, I don't want to pray for them. I don't want to pray for them. That's the place I'm at. God says, pray for them. Let yourself believe it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And then in our text, verse 35, it says, Jesus wept. Troubled in spirit, he's grieving, he's angry, and Jesus wept. But it's not like our wept. It's not like all that movie on Netflix got a little tear in the corner of my eye, or I saw this old lady fall down in Target and I got a little tear in my eye. This is like just Jesus bawling, Jesus just losing it. We would say losing it, just crying, really, really, really crying. Jesus is weeping over this situation, seeing what Satan thinks he's gotten away with, but he ain't getting away with nothing. Seeing the hopelessness of the people. And he says, no, nothing's hopeless, not with me. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Death has no victory because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Death has no sting to me. I saw Grandpa, and he looked like he was feeling a mighty bit of a pinch in his last moments. I'm not talking about that. Death, where is your sting? I'm saying, man, we, Alan, me, Sister Claudia, that's pretty much it. No victory like Christians, we don't have to fear death. We don't have to lose any sleep over it. There's no sting to it. You go from this place to eternity. There's nothing to worry about. As a matter of fact, we can be excited. We can have joy. Well, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't want to be in a hospital bed for a month. I don't want to be. Dude, take it one day at a time, man. Just give it to God. It's going to be wonderful. Better than you can imagine. Amen. I mean, think about Lazarus right now. Lazarus is walking around heaven. Man, it's pretty nice. This is all right. I can't wait to tell Mary and Martha about this. Jesus wasn't lying. Man, is that a chocolate waterfall? You know what I mean? They're straight. It's all you can eat. You don't pay for nothing. Jesus already paid the price. You know, it's like, it's everything. You know, he's having a great time, but he's about to get the news. It's like, an angel's gonna flutter down to him. It's like, hey, Jesus actually did get there, and you gotta go. It's a testimony thing. And the Jews are going to want to kill you. You're going to have to die again. But you'll be back. Verse 57, 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, let's go to the next slide. Let's wrap this thing up, man. All pretty and nice, like a burrito. My son, Paul Jr., wraps up burritos perfect in his mathematical mind. Everything is perfect. He won't wrap up a burrito like it won't even close and stuff. Because your eyes are bigger than your... No, it's not that. I'm going to eat it. John 11, 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again. Jesus is furious and he's grieving. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time, there will be an odor. Lord, by this time there will be order, for he has been dead 4 days. Oh, man, 4 days now. Our situation can look like there's no hope whatsoever. That's how this situation looked. And now they're like, Jesus, seriously, do you want to say your last goodbyes that bad? Do you want us to go through all this work and move this stone, because I want to remember my loved one a certain way. And I really don't want to see that. I don't want my friends to see that. So I really don't get it. So here's the deal, man. So in this historic Jewish folklore, Jesus Christ did not subscribe to this, but he knew there would be people there that would believe in these old wives' tales and stuff like that. Remember, God will share his glory with nobody, right? So there was this teaching, not godly teaching, but this was something that a lot of Hebrews believed back then. Even a lot of people believe it now, and they'll have people watch the body for a certain amount of days. But anyways, so here's the deal. They believed that the spirit of the deceased would loiter over the dead body for up to 3 days. They believed that. But after the fourth day, when certain changes begin to happen in the body or whatever, they realized the spirit, because they assumed the spirit, or they believed the spirit was looking for a way to re-enter the body. After a certain amount of time, after the fourth day, or on the fourth day, when the body would go through certain changes, they're like, okay, the spirit gave up and went to eternity. So Jesus is like, I'll wait 4 days for this. No one's getting the glory. No one's saying, Grandma Dorothy was right. I seen it with my own eyes. Nope. Only God's going to get the glory. In your situation might be so messy. In the King James, it says, by now he stinketh. Yeah. And your situation might be pretty bad, but it ain't hopeless. God's just got you in a place where you're not just going to be blessed. You're going to be super, super blessed. And he's going to get the glory, all the glory. So I want you to turn your kids, man, over to the Lord. Turn your kids, your relationships, your finances, whatever it is, man, this world, this nation. Say, God, you got this. You got this. You are sovereign. You're in control. And you want what's best for me. You want what's best for my family. So I'm not going to be stressed out or lose any more sleep over it. I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to give it to you. Jesus said to her, did I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? He says, Jesus, do you really want to do this? Do you really want to move the stone away? He says, Martha, Martha, didn't I tell you that if you believed, and you said you believed, do you believe? Because now, I mean, it's down to the nitty gritty. So do you believe? Because if you believe that I can do it, not that you can do it, because you can't do this kind of thing. You're so limited. You're good about messing stuff up, Martha. Oh, you're good about messing stuff up. But only God can bring life back into this situation. And I told you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And God did his thing. Jesus did his thing. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. And like I said, man, Lazarus was such a walking witness and testimony of Jesus Christ's sovereign power that these evil cats said, not only do we have to kill this Jesus guy, we got to kill that guy Lazarus. Anyways, we serve a God that does the impossible. So I'm just going to close with this verse. Luke 18 and verse 27. But he said, this is Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus Christ said. So you get your situation mentally with your kids, with your health, with whatever, the school bus route, whatever's bugging you. But he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. He said in Luke, he said, for nothing is impossible with God. Luke 1:37. That's the God we serve. So he's inviting us to draw closer, to draw nearer to him and say, God, I need your help to go deeper because I got all this baggage, all this stuff in my life that I don't want to get rid of. I'm used to it, man. I don't know how I can live without it. Or it's just this pain, this torment, this unforgiveness is so much part of me. I don't know how to shed rid of it. I don't know if that's the right way to say that, but I don't know how to get rid of it. He says, just draw near to me. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Amen. Father God, thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you that we belong to you. and that your will is going to be done in our lives and in our families' lives, Lord, and that you do have a good plan for us and our families, and that you're in the business of rebuilding what has been destroyed, that you bring life back into a situation that stinks, to a situation that looks so dead, that you're bringing life back into it, that you're breathing life into these bones, Lord God, that Victory Life Church has yet to see its best days, Lord, in your service, that our families will serve you. We love you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.